This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Covering all kinds of things around the area, certainly a diverse lineup of programs this week. Right now, we go to Washington, D.C. 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle is on. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thanks for having me.
So I guess at the front end of things, I know there's a big storm coming to the East Coast and, well, much of the U.S., really. And I know you're about ready to get out of there at some point. But as you see the landscape with everything happening, how do you feel like this session of Congress is starting for you?
Well, it's been pretty weird. It's like we're working on business. For instance, today we have a new public lands caucus. It's bipartisan, mostly those of us from the West, but to work on public lands because this is something that both Democrats and Republicans work on. We're actually getting some appropriation bills that, you know, unlike the previous budget bill, have bipartisan, priorities and support. So that's been fine. It's been really disconcerting to not know what's happening from, you know, invading Venezuela to potentially invading Greenland or Canada or Cuba. I mean, these are things that we normally don't deal with on a regular basis, and that if we were going to do something that consequential and put American lives and soldiers on the ground, then that's something that Congress should be weighing in on. So that's been really weird. We have been able to work on a number of other things, but I am heartened that there are things within the appropriations process that have bipartisan priority. So that's a good thing.
Now, recently, of course, Secure Rural School funding was restored, helping counties, including here in your district. Where do we need to move next, though, when it comes to federal timber management?
So I think, in federal timber management, so first of all, there's a few things that have happened. The Interior Department funding bill that passed last week will allow ONC counties to once again receive, timber revenue. And they moved up to a 75% revenue share, up from 50%. If you'll remember in H.R. 1, the Republican budget bill, those timber receipts were not, they were eliminated from going to county. So that's a very big deal. I've been working in a bipartisan way. I just spoke with Jeff Hurd from Colorado on a tribal co-management bill. Again, going back to our public lands, especially where our public federal workforce has, we had so many people that we lost that got laid off, that got doged. Working with local tribes on our Forest Service lands and making sure that we can keep our public lands public is really important, both for forest management and allowing people to have access to those lands. So that's my top priority during this cycle, and I feel like we'll get a lot done. We also, I've gotten all of my requests for community funding grants. We just received $800,000 for the Glide Revitalization Community Resource Center, and that is really, really important. They're doing great work. And then today we're voting on appropriations bill that will bring $3.15 million for the Umpqua Community College to revive college-owned buildings in Roseburg to affordable housing for students. So that's big news, and those taxpayer dollars that Oregonians pay are going to come back to Oregonians to invest in our community the way we want. I also received a call from the Department of Transportation this weekend, and we should be having some more funding from the Department of Transportation coming for the Port of Coos Bay planning and infrastructure.
So a lot going on there. When you talk about federal lands, one of the things people ask about sometimes is the status of the land that was decimated in the Archie Creek fire that goes back to 2020 now, the fall of 2020, so just over 5 years ago. And a lot of people say a lot more should have been done to restore it and clean up after, and in some cases, a lot of that is still sitting there. What's your take on the direction the federal level should have for this?
I agree. I also know that from the Archie Creek fire, from the Holiday Farm fire, from, you know, the 2020 fires, we are still waiting for reimbursement from FEMA. And right now, because FEMA is under, you know, the jurisdiction of the Department of Homeland Security, and quite frankly, Director Kristi Noem is paying no attention to FEMA, even though it's so important. I'm working on a bipartisan bill to take FEMA and make it a cabinet level office on its own, not, you know, under the Coast Guard, under intelligence, counterterrorism, you know, ICE and border security. Like, it gets lost. But fundamentally, we need to do more to make sure that we're keeping our forests so that we don't lose them to burning. That, you know, we restore the Job Corps and the really important work that they do in clearing up debris, and that we're managing for conservation and stewardship in our forests. And we can do all of that and do it better than we have done, for sure. But it's a little difficult to do that when the federal workforce, the people who do this work, were fired or laid off.
During sort of the DOGE era, if you will, so many things happened so quickly. It seems like a number of them kind of over time got reversed or partially reversed. You mentioned the Job Corps. Is there any shift there in their status?
There is. We're starting to see some of that come back, and that is one of the things that we talked about at Public Lands Caucus today. Again, you know, when we look at issues in the federal government, yes, the federal government does absolutely. We need to address waste, fraud, and abuse. But, you know, there are certain things that we should keep. So you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. So on the Public Lands Caucus, we talked about Job Corps and just how important it is and the kind of skill set that we give young people. So we are seeing support for that come back. Like the Wolf Creek Job Corps, they're doing amazing work and giving opportunities to young people to learn how to work in the woods and show up and work hard. And those skill sets are life-changing. So I think we are seeing some change in that.
Seems like finding a path to getting on higher up the priority list, if you will, for federal funding for a state veterans home in Roseburg seems to be kind of a struggle.
It is a struggle, and we have been really fighting hard for it. What the issue is, there's a limited amount of money that's allocated for these projects. And what the prioritization has been is to do maintenance and upkeep for the existing veterans homes. The fact is that we have been working on this since 2011. You know, when Tim Freeman, county commissioner, was a representative, he worked very hard on this. David Brock Smith, senator, is working very hard on this. Virgil Osborne, and then Cliff Bentz, when him and I were in the legislature, we voted for it. We put the money forward in Oregon. Promises were made. These veterans earn these benefits. It's not like they're a handout. And so this is one of the things that we're working to try and get in some of these appropriation bills. But the fact is, with limited funds, that's how, you know, the agency is choosing to prioritize the funds, and we're making the case. I mean, we did get the Roseburg Veterans Home reprioritized, so it is in that first tier. Now it's a matter of getting the agency to prioritize building new homes as opposed, while they're also renovating older places.
For the VA in general, how do you feel it's working right now?
Well, I was talking to some doctors and nurses from the VA, and they have really great concerns about being able to attract enough healthcare professionals who are leaving and going to private sector instead of coming because of the instability in being a federal worker. I was born at Travis Air Force Base. My father was a veteran, a medic in Vietnam, and he earned every benefit that he gets. And I think that we have not done the job and delivered on the promises that we gave to our veterans when they put their lives on the line to fight for our country. And we absolutely need to do better. I think that it is woefully inadequate what we're investing in our VAs, and we should and need to do better. There are people who think we should privatize veteran services. I am not one of those people. We have a responsibility as the government, and when it's working right, the VA system works very, very well.
You mentioned the funding for GLIDE revitalization, the vote on some funding that will help the Umpqua Community College. What about other things in the 4th District or projects that you're working on that will are specifically tailored to this district?
I had applied for 15 different grants the different ones in each county. These are the ones in Douglas County, but we actually got investments for public safety. We got investments, for water infrastructure, for transportation in every place from Lane County, emergency communications, resiliency, interoperability. We were able to get money last year to Douglas County for that. We've got money for Lane County. In Coos County, we got federal dollars for records reduction and accessibility. So being able to move their records from paper over to being online, that's really important for people that want to have access to public records. Rural health, radio infrastructure, those are the things. When I ask community leaders what's important to them, they say emergency response, policing, and healthcare access and infrastructure. And that is, our office focuses on the things that are practical, that really make a difference in people's lives. And I think that if you're going to pay federal tax dollars, that your local community should weigh in on how they're spent. I mean, Eugene shouldn't be choosing how things are spent in Roseburg, right? Or vice versa. And so we really tailored these investments to the request from the community.
With a new session of Congress, I don't know if this works automatically or whatever, but did you have any change to your committee assignments?
I am still on the Natural Resources Committee. I'm the ranking member, so the highest ranking Democrat on the Water, Wildlife, and Fisheries Subcommittee. And then also I'm on the Indian and Insular Affairs Subcommittee. And then on transportation, much like last year, I'm on the Water Subcommittee and then also the Highways and Transit Subcommittee. I was added onto the Aviation Subcommittee, which is really great. And we're working with the Department of Transportation on upgrading our FAA system that woefully needs investment. And Peter DeFazio was the, ranking member and chair of that subcommittee previously. And so it's good to be able to have him as a resource as well.
Now we're approaching the midterm elections, people starting to talk about it, people deciding to run or not run, et cetera. How does that shape what gets done this year in Congress while a lot of members from both sides of the aisle are focused on their particular campaign?
Yeah, I think what you'll see is that normally We would do more of the work being in D.C. in the off-election year than the election year. That didn't happen with the government shutdown, with the way that Speaker Johnson has decided to call us into session. So I think that people will be spending more time at home, especially coming up to the election. Unfortunately, we have very few districts like mine where, you know, you can't get elected by one party or another. And I think that has been a disaster. The kind of gerrymandering that makes the vast majority of our congressional districts hard blue or hard red. It means that these people don't, they listen to their base, and they don't have to listen to people who have a different political opinion. And I think that that, and then social media algorithms that are set up to keep us outraged and separated. And, you know, I think that that has been, it's certainly, we see in Congress, it's been a detriment to people being able to work together. And as the campaign season gets going, people get more and more political as opposed to focusing on places where they can work together. And look, for me, I focus on the things that I've always focused on, and that work in, whether it's Curry, Coos and Douglas County, or Lane, Benton, and Lincoln County, which is, if we can bring jobs and opportunity and economic development, a proper safety net for people that need it to our district, making sure that eligible voters are able to vote, those things are really important. And then the other thing for me is I took an oath to uphold the Constitution. So holding, you know, whether it's the administration or my colleagues accountable for upholding the Constitution is important. I will do that whether I'm in a campaign cycle or not. And we have a lot of people who are running for office, people who've never served in office before. And I'm excited that we've got so many people that want to be engaged in the democratic process. They want to have a voice. And I think having a strong democracy is important. And I think the more, the merrier. I'm going to continue to do what I do. And if I'm lucky enough to get reelected, then I'll have the honor to serve. And if not, I will not have an 11-hour commute. I get to spend more time with my husband at home. You know, either way, it's a win. But I, like I said, I've said before, other than having my children, this is the greatest honor and privilege of my life. And I'll just continue to work for the district from the top to the bottom.
What has been, in just the limited time you've been there, have you seen Congress change or shift, or is it much like it was when you got there?
It is not. And really the piece is the relationship of Congress to the executive branch. The way that our government was set up was with three separate and equal branches of government. And we should all be equal so that there are checks and balances. And over the past year, what we have seen, whether it's foreign policy or appropriations or weighing in on, you know, negotiations on foreign policy, on tariffs, that Congress has ceded its authority to the president. Now, whether you support the president or don't support the president, what we should want is some checks and balances within the system. And right now we don't have that because, like in the House, up until very recently, the president, you know, basically has a blank check with Congress where he says what he wants and they just do it. Now we are see people stepping up where we've had discharge petitions. So that means bringing a bill to the floor that the speaker will not bring to the floor. So whether that's on the War Powers Act, I am very strong. And I will tell you, I called out President Biden on this, on the War Powers Act, when he went into Yemen without consulting Congress, or Venezuela, or potentially Greenland. I am very, very clear that Congress is the only body that can declare war, and that the president should come to Congress, and we have bipartisan support for those things, on tariffs, on extending Affordable Care Act subsidies, right? We just had a discharge petition where 17 Republicans signed on to that, basically saying we shouldn't cut people off. I think I talked about this last time. There's a constituent of mine in Cottage Grove who is paying $87 a month, and now she's going to have to pay over $1,000 a month for her needed health care. And, like, we need to make sure that we're paying our health care dollars to providers, not middlemen, not insurance companies, not pharmacy benefit managers or pharma. I'll work on that. But while we do that, we shouldn't leave people in the lurch not being able to afford health care.
About a minute left on Inside Douglas County. What's ahead on your docket over the next week or so?
I'm going to come home. I am going to go up to Tacoma. There's a nice facility there, and tour the facility, also see some residents of the district who are there, maintain an open line of communication with the people who are in charge. We're going to visit people throughout the district, and I'm really, really looking forward to be home.
And as you go through the balance of the year, as you look back at the past one, rather, what's maybe your proudest accomplishment?
My proudest accomplishment is really the work that we've been able to do on Tuesday, and then working with our first responders, our police and fire, and helping them get the kind of infrastructure that will allow them to communicate and save lives. That's a really big deal, and especially in our rural communities, and really, really proud of that.
All right. 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle, thanks for being on Inside Douglas County today.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.